Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk. Ask the Expert on Lunchtime Live.
Yeah, it's that time of the week where we put your questions to our experts. And today we're talking all things electric cars with Nevo's Derek Riley. Derek, good afternoon. How are you?
Andrea, I'm good.
Yeah, loads of questions coming in. 087 1400 106 is the number, actually. If you have a voice note or maybe if you want to chat to Derek on air yourself, give us a call. It's 1800 453 106. Just before we talk all things EVs, I did spot today Tesla. They've cut their prices again.
A price realignment is like what we like to call it.
A price realignment, right, like yeah. Well, good news for people in the market for a Tesla then.
Yeah, good news for people who are looking to buy a new Tesla. And it's not just Tesla. Polestar also after readjusting their prices. Some people that have bought at a higher price.
I was going to say, if you bought the Tesla now 6 months ago,
yeah,
I'm sure you're not happy about this.
But there are ways of eliminating, or if you're thinking about going electric and you're worried, first of all, any car isn't going to be an appreciating asset. It's all cars depreciate over time. But when there are price adjustments, if you're worried about that kind of stuff, you could either lease a car, so you rent it so you know exactly what your monthly repayments are going to be and you're going to be able to hand it back. But then you can also go for a PCP product because they guarantee the future value of the vehicle. So if you were worried about, I don't know how this market is going to play out, you could go either PCP or leasing and you'll know exactly what your outgoings are going to be and what the end value is going to be.
They're typically higher though monthly, aren't they?
But you're getting that guarantee.
You're getting the guarantee. It's a fixed mortgage, correct, effectively, if you want to look at it that way. So the Tesla Model 3 is now what?
38 starting at, for the standard range.
And the Y is about 45,000.
Yeah. So serious value out there in electric vehicles at the moment, new and used.
A lot of questions coming in about the used ones in a moment. Let's take this voice note first of all though, Derek, from one of our listeners.
If you have an accident in an EV, how do you know that the battery hasn't been badly damaged or the cells in the battery haven't been badly damaged and could cause thermal runaway, i.e. a fire?
Good question.
One I hadn't thought of.
I was in the fire brigade for 14 years now, Andrea, so I know all about this.
Yeah, you know about it, right.
Road accidents. Like any incident that's involving your vehicle, combustion, petrol, diesel, or electric, bring it back to the dealership and make sure they check it out. And when they check it out, they can plug it into the diagnostic machine and say, yes, battery is perfect, no problem at all with any of the cells, or your engine is perfect. So always make sure that you're checking it out afterwards. Small or large incidents, you should always get a approved dealer to check it out.
Okay, but that's presuming you're getting in the car after that accident, as that listener said, and back on the road. But
correct,
your advice is bring it to the dealer.
Absolutely.
Before you
as,
do so.
As soon as possible.
You'd probably do that with any car, wouldn't
exactly.
you?
Exactly. It's not just an electric car.
Okay. Another voice note from this listener as well, Derek.
I want to buy an EV sooner rather than later, but I'm quite apprehensive about it because of the depreciation in values. So you could ask Derek about this, because I think a lot of people would be in the same boat. Everything is all over the place. We've seen Volkswagen IDs price drop so dramatically. I don't think this is going to do much for the future of EVs until it's set out. So what are Derek's thoughts on this?
Kind of answered it already with the leasing and the PCP option. If you are thinking about going electric sooner rather than later, then, like that listener is saying, if you want the guarantee of I'm only going to have to pay this amount per month in a lease product, or I want to know what my future value, guaranteed future value is going to be, go for a PCP product.
But I suppose the, like, how much more realignment do we expect in the market? Because I'm sure ideally dealerships are going to want people to buy rather than the leasing model.
I think we're getting to the stage now, and in my opinion, I think it's getting to a stage where it's starting to plateau out. EVs of a certain size, of a certain battery, of a certain range are getting to that level where the average top 10 electric vehicles in Ireland, if you average the price out, is around about €50,000. Top 10 combustion engine vehicles in Ireland, if you take the average price, about €40,000. So there is definitely still a premium to go electric, but that price parity is starting to come in more and more. So for example, the Peugeot 2008 petrol top trim is the exact same price, pretty much within 100 or €200, as an electric version of it. So you'll be able to, Andrea, to go in and buy your car and go, I want petrol, I want diesel, or I want electric, and they're all roughly the same price. Some brands, there are still a difference in it, but then you look at the TCO, that total cost of ownership. How much is it going to cost me to fuel this vehicle? Overnight charging? What's the servicing cost? What are the tires cost? So EVs aren't for everybody, and I'm not here to try and prove or make everybody go electric.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that anybody that goes into an electric vehicle understands the price, the range, the charging, all of that kind of stuff. And that's what we do on Nevo, is educate people as to, do you know what, is an EV right for you today? Or is it 6 months? Or is it going to be a year's time?
I wonder, is that price alignment that's been happening and those adjustments in cost, is that, you know, for people that are maybe on the fence or thinking about changing their car and maybe they're, you know, saying to themselves, do you know what, I'll hold out for 6 more months and see, do the prices drop anymore?
Potentially. But 60% we're hearing in the market is people going PCP anyway. So people are using that product. And with that guaranteed minimum future value, I can't think of it, it's a long word, GMFR, I think it is, future value, VEV, it's given that reassurance. And so people like that product. And as you say, it's a slight bit more expensive on a monthly repayment, but you can hand back the car, you can pay the remainder, or you can get a brand new car at the end of the term.
Okay. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Listener says, we're looking for the smallest EV that you can buy. My daughter is currently learning to drive and we're looking to get her an EV, but we want, but any we've seen so far are just too big.
So Renault, if it's new or used, Renault Zoe, can get them used now. Lovely little city car, kind of like a Fiesta kind of size. So that super mini kind of setup. Then you also have the BYD Dolphin. You have the Mini Electric itself. So there's lots of, Fiat 500e is now fully electric if you want it as well. So you can't get much smaller than that, really. Yeah. Now, there is the Citroen Ami, little two-seater. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it.
Yeah,
two-door.
Usually get them in on the continent,
correct,
don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, so,
very
and
Italian.
So there's very small cars if you want to go that. So technically that's a quadricycle, but the smallest EV on the market at the moment is the likes of the Fiat 500e or the MG4. So there's 90 electric vehicles available in Ireland as of today. And by the end of the year, that'll be over 110.
Okay.
Everything from small hatchbacks all the way up to electric pickups. SUVs.
Cherry is wondering, he's in the market for a used EV. Mm-hmm. The prices for the same model and they vary quite a lot. For example, the Hyundai is at the Ioniq 5,
yes,
2022, some at about 33,000, others at 39 with similar mileage. Also, it's quite hard to determine the battery health. Was it fast charged by a previous owner? Any thoughts?
Yeah, so always understand the trim level that you're looking at. So they might look the same, so the Ioniq 5, but understand what's the trim level, number one, and also what's the battery size. Some cars come with a medium size and a long range battery, so always double check that they're like for like. Mileage is a big thing as well. Service history, is it still in warranty? And then, like he was asking there, understanding that battery health. And any reputable dealer should be able to give you a state of health report, an SOH report on that battery, to say this battery has X percentage of usable cells left within the battery pack. And so then you can start working out, okay, if at 100% it was 400 kilometer of a range, now it has 95% battery, so you're just taking 5% off, so now it has 380 worth of range. So any dealership should give you that state of health report.
SOH is what Jerry needs to go in and ask the dealer for.
And if the dealer doesn't give you that, walk away from that dealer, because that dealer does not know what they're talking about with regards to electric vehicles.
Okay.
But you want that backup, you want that reassurance that when you buy that used EV from that dealer, you want to make sure that that dealer can support you ongoing in that journey, because there's such a huge warranty on electric vehicles, up to 8 years in some of them. And so he's might talking about a 2022, 2 year old. There's still 6 years left of warranty on that car. So you might have it for another 4 years, and then the next person will still have 2 years worth of warranty, but it all has to go through that dealer.
The fast charging by previous owners, will that kill the battery? Or
it's not going to kill a battery. Some batteries have a chemistry that it doesn't like fast charging too often. It's like fast charging your phone.
Your phone, yeah.
Exactly. Now, a car battery is much more complicated and has a battery management system built into it. But a car that has been fast charged over and over again, the range wouldn't be as good as a car that has been looked after and the charge being kept at a certain level and slow charged overnight, etc., etc.
Okay. Is insurance more expensive for EVs or are there companies that specialise in EV insurance?
All large insurance companies will insure an EV, or they should anyway. With Nebo, we work very closely with AXA because we want to make sure that our readers on our website and the viewers on the YouTube channel get the best information. So AXA and other insurance companies will. But like anything, price around. Understand that I've got my make, my model, and I know what my premium currently is. But you have to compare like with like. You might be going from a diesel vehicle into an electric vehicle. What's the price of diesel versus what's the price of the electric vehicle?
But should you expect to pay less in insurance for the EV?
What we're hearing in the Irish market, it's roughly the same at the moment.
Roughly the same.
Yeah,
there
isn't a premium.
Listener, 1800 453 106, the number if you want to give us a call. Do you need specialist training to fix EVs? I keep getting told to go back to the garage where they're charging me a fortune. My own mechanic is able to fix it though.
It's all to do with warranty cover. So if you buy a brand new EV and you need to make sure that that warranty is kept, and because that warranty is 8 years or 160,000 kilometers, it needs to be dealership serviced and looked after by that dealership, because yes, high voltage mechanics are needed to do it. What we're seeing is more and more independent garages are getting accredited with HEVRA, H-E-V-R-A. So it's the High Voltage Independent Garage Association. So you can be assured that somebody that's working on your car outside of warranty usually knows what they're doing, because it is high voltage stuff.
Yeah, okay. This guy says, listener here says he's a tradesman, currently driving a van, would like to go to an EV though. Any recommendations? He carries a lot of equipment, so he needs something that's big.
Big and can have the range and can hold the weight. So there's size, weight and range. So there's a couple of factors there. Lots of electric vans out there. Again, I've driven all cars, all vans. I live on the public charge network. So depends on your needs, if you're where you're working, what kind of range you want. So it'll be down to, do you want big range? Do you want to carry big weight? Or do you want big volume?
So you have to pick one of those, do you?
You just understand what you need, first of all. So I was in the commercial vehicle show in Birmingham yesterday, and there must have been maybe 35 all different shapes and sizes of electric vans. So Ford have a small, medium and large. Renault, Opel, all of the brands have small, medium and large. So understanding what your requirements are. So it's hard for me to say this car.
If he was looking, we'll say for something that was, you know, if weight was the issue, what would you?
It'll be then potentially that his range, because with your license, you're only allowed up to 3.5 ton of a vehicle to drive, and a bigger battery weighs more. So the vehicle itself, before you put anything into it, weighs more, and then you're putting stuff in the back of it. So electric vans is a funny kind of situation, because our license limits us to drive something of a certain weight. You can see people who drive HGVs or buses, they're on a bigger license, so they can drive it. And so I'd need to understand what their requirements are. I need to drive 200 kilometers a day, and I need to put a ton of weight in the back, and I need 6 cubic meters worth of space.
Okay.
I can go tick, 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 and this is the van for you.
Yeah, well, if that listener wants to get back in touch here, Derek will be with us for another few minutes and we'll try and get the answer to that question for you. It's 1800 453 106. Listener asks, are they hard on tyres? Are they much heavier than combustion engine cars?
No, if you got the right tyre, and that's what it boils down to. Sometimes when we go into a tyre garage, we're looking for the cheapest tyre.
Yeah.
But it's not always the best tyre. And EVs are even more susceptible to this, because it'll affect your range as well. So if you put the right tyre on the vehicle that's been specified, it won't affect the tyre wear, but it also won't affect your range. Will it be the cheapest tyre? Potentially not, but make sure you put the right tyres on your vehicle.
Okay. So it's not an EV tyre as such, but you're just...
Oh, no, sorry, it is an EV. So it's a low rolling resistance tyre.
Oh, so you do need a specialist tyre.
Yeah, for sure, because it will make sure that they're... Potentially, but again, you're saving the money on the fuel.
Okay.
And you're not wearing through them as often. And I hear this thrown back at me, this fear, uncertainty and doubt and this misinformation saying, because EVs are heavier, they're going to wear through tyres. Mm. In your head, it makes sense. But there's not a lot of light cars at the moment, because they're all getting bigger, SUVs, they're getting heavier. So an electric car might be 2.2 tonnes. But an SUV that has a diesel engine in it will probably be 2.1 tonne anyway.
We've Aziz is with us on the line today. You have a question, Aziz, for Derek.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Very good program. Very nice discussion going on. I just actually switched on a little bit late. Good afternoon. I just want to ask you something. I have a hybrid car, and it gives me 40 kilometers when I fully charged it. Question number one. Is it okay if I don't charge it at all and keep driving it on petrol?
Yes, you can. But the issue is you're not getting a very efficient petrol engine then, because you're carrying a battery and an electric motor around. It's not going to do anything to your hybrid. It's just not going to be very efficient. So if you're not charging it, and I always recommend that you do, because it's better for the environment, but also better for your pocket. But if you were always going to drive it without charging it, just get a petrol or diesel car.
Exactly. But the only thing is, because I drive it mostly in Dublin City, so I do charge it. But it's as you know, it takes about 3 hours, and it's quite expensive to be it's very heavy on electricity, isn't it?
Yeah, sometimes you can get great overnight tariff. So when you're asleep, and hopefully you sleep at some stage,
that
you're able to plug it in when you go to bed, and then when you wake up in the morning, it's as full. You're getting that beautiful 40 kilometres worth of electric range, and then you can get specific overnight tariffs when you're charging your EV.
I hope that helps.
Lovely. Could I ask one more quick
question? Yeah, of course.
We're in the process of buying another total fully electric car. So is it, because Ireland is not very car charging friendly yet, like America or anything, and sometimes if you drive long distances, is it worth buying fully electric or just wait and... way than...
I'm slightly biased now, so I'm going to say yes. Yeah. So I go from Dunleary to Belmullet over in Mayo, 320 kilometres, and a lot of cars now will do that full coast-to-coast without ever having to charge, with stuff left over. So just understanding what your routes are and seeing what that charging network is like. But a lot of the new cars you will get will have that range that you require. You just need to do the research and educate yourself on
it. Okay. Aziz, thank you for getting in touch with us. 1800 453 106 is the number. What about the life cycle of the electric battery itself? I hear warranty's only about 7 years. After that, if it breaks or dies, the battery replacement is often 5 to 10 grand. Almost like replacing an engine. The car is useless without a battery. I'll stick to the eco plug-in. Battery dies. Car switches to petrol or hybrid much better, says this listener.
This is a lot of it that I'm getting at the moment. So let's break this down, Andrea. So give me, can we start at the beginning of that big stage?
Life cycle there. Of the battery.
So battery life cycle. So what we're finding is maybe 1% every average year of use. And so the whole thing that you'll have to throw the whole battery out is absolute misinformation and disinformation. What you can do is you can replace the individual cells or modules within that pack. And so you're not replacing the whole thing, you're just taking out the bit that may
and
have
roughly
failed.
Roughly, what would you pay for the...
100 quid, maybe 1,000 euros.
So not 5 to 10.
No. And this is where all this information that's been put out in social media and on high stools, like I like to talk about. Don't be listening to people down the pub. Don't be watching people on social media. Talk to the experts. Listen to the people that actually are driving it or fixing it or doing what we're saying we're doing, rather than people that have heard a story secondhand.
Often are the battery warranties only about 7 years?
Only, but sure, an engine warranty on a combustion or petrol diesel might be only 3 or 4 or 5, you know what I mean? So it's 7 years, and what they're saying are 7 or 8 years. Let's pick an example. It's 8 years, and they're saying it'll be 8-year warranty or 160,000, and the manufacturer will guarantee that the battery will be at a minimum of 70% usability.
Okay, listen, we could spend another hour, Derek, answering listener questions about EVs. That's Derek Riley from Nevo. Derek, thanks a million for joining us here on the show today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.